this meeting to order. It is the July 15, 2019, Tazewell County Board of Supervisors special call meeting. And we are going to have, first of all, though, we do want to recognize that today is Ms. Maggie Asbury's birthday. So we want to sing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maggie. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for spending this evening with us to get the business of the county taken care of. We also would like to tell the press and the audience here that we have board member Charlie Stacy joins by phone. And so he is watching the Atlantic Ocean on his balcony. So
yeah.
I'm sure he's got a suit and tie on. So
I'm sure he's dressed, yeah, appropriately.
I have a suit, but he doesn't have a tie.
We also have our members of IDA here. And our newest member, Mr. Payne.
Good to have you on the IDA. Give him a hand. So we've also with us the press and represented from Davenport here. Your name again, I'm sorry.
Kyle Lovitz.
Kyle is with us, so we appreciate him coming. All right, so item number two, we're going to do invocation and pledge. Maggie, would you do the prayer for us, and then Tom, would you do the pledge?
Working off of the last couple months after that February meeting, and after you've obviously worked very hard
impressive. The Vikings are happy to have those. What we have is this presentation that walked through the two-part financing. We'll talk about it in more detail, but basically lets us finance some of those capital projects and the longer-term types of projects. Finance that for fixed-rate lending for the 20-year time period, very nice low interest rate. And also the second piece of it is to put in place a line of credit with local bank or national bank. Been very good work with thus far, as Tommy kind of mentioned, to make sure that if we've got a problem, if we've got an emergency, knowing that our reserves are much, much lower than they were 3 or 5 years ago, we've got that sort of cash flow, which is certainly if indeed we need it. So, big picture, those are the topics we'll walk through it. We've worked closely with Bond Council, Tommy Williams. So the resolutions that you have before you, as I said, I was technically happening by now if it was passing in, but those resolutions, both Hunt and Williams and County Attorney have looked at, just to kind of give that as a preface. So on page number one, in terms of background, I won't repeat myself so often, but again, in our line of work, there's many places we work with. Reserves, having some of that cash on hand is arguably the most important financial metric for a local government. So we've seen by a variety of reasons the economy being a big one, the reserves be diminished versus what they were 5 years ago. And so it's been an overriding theme here is how to make sure we maintain them and position ourselves to really grow them. And again, we've got the capital projects we need to take care of, just like at home. The roof is leaking, and the air conditioning is out. It's only a matter of time before it begins to cost you more money if you aren't able to take care of it. So we're trying to take care of some of those critical needs right now in order to stay prepared. So you flip the page to page two. So what did we really do? Over the course of the last couple of months, we solicited competitively to national banks, regional banks, and local banks. Doesn't make any difference to us if your advisor or agnostic as to what bank it is, and so we cast a wide net. But we cast a competitive budget proposal for those two pieces, meaning the line of credit at $2.5 million and the long-term financing at about $4 million. We're happy to be able to work today on a nice summer, fall day to summer day. Is that we've got nice bids on both pieces of those and documentation that looks like it works for all the various lawyers. It's something that you can take action on today. So if you go to page three, we'll talk about the line of credit first. Best bidder in this particular financing was Drummond National Bank, so the local folks and the folks who are going to be in the audience. And what we asked for was what we call line credit. So if you have an equity line of credit, if you have a business line of credit, the concept is if you need money, you're able to draw down those dollars. But if you don't need the money, you don't have to draw down the dollars, you don't have to incur the expense. And so what Grundy provided was a line or a loan of $2.5 million. It had a final maturity of creates a lot of flexibility in terms of being able to use those dollars for whether it's capital projects, low cash flow times and time period, whereby it's been a long time since you've collected tax revenues. We see that a lot more happens whereby you do collect property taxes once a year. You've got those very lean months before tax revenues come in. And that is the time of year we get a little nervous cash flow wise in terms of if you have an emergency, a bad storm, floods, whatever, making sure you've got that. That flexibility to draw funds down again if it's needed. The bottom down here, Credit National Bank has indicated the hard collateral behind it. So this is the credit here, which is great from the bank standpoint. And what flexibility allows for you is the credit here is a moral obligation pledge to the board supervisor. So you don't have to put the building or any variety behind it, which is probably more typical. So, very flexible, no interest rate. We can draw as we need it, not obligated to draw dollars. So, again, that's the reason we like this government natural fact that it for the line of credit is in kind of back pocket, so we know that during those lean cash flow months, we've got access to. So we flip the page on page 4, and we'll talk about the second piece of what we're doing, what we're talking about. That's the long-term financing. So during the budget process, and the county administrator came up with about $3.8 million in capital profits this last we saw, so we looked at banks, which kind of went up forward, and ultimately we'll borrow and exactly what we need, cover the cost of the projects, and the cost of issuance. But basically around $4 million, so we shaved below that. And Sterling National Bank provided the most favorable bid on this piece. And so we've got the local folks in the line of credit, and Sterling has a bit of a national presence. We've been working hard with the county attorney and on the these last couple of weeks to keep them comfortable and their exclusive provisions and collateral. But long story short, what they've offered us is a 20-year loan that will look a whole lot like a mortgage we've never had before, which is a fixed interest rate, it's fixed annual payments. When we did the planning for your budget and your financial review earlier in the year, we assumed, hopefully conservatively, a 4% planning rate, and their interest rate is 3.17. So if you think about that, you're able to lock in 20-year fixed rate financing, shade of a 3% interest rate, which is historically speaking very, very favorable. I'm sure it's the first thing you go look at. The second is, all right, we're entering a 20-year loan, what's our ability to prepay and refinance in the future? And basically, what Sterling has offered is the ability to prepay after the first 5 years with no penalty. And so, in our world, that's very flexible. Think about 20-year loans, basically a quarter of the time period through that, the potential to refinance is probably not very likely. But once you get into year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, odds are that you're going to be more likely to refinance it closer, probably 10 years, if you need to bring something more close to where they are. So we've got flexibility in the future, which we care about. Something that will be out there for 20 years and be financing long-lived projects as opposed to the short-term projects. Importantly, we try to put this in bold here at the bottom. The payments and all of this, we have a chart of that fit within your existing debt service budget. So if you have a budget for a certain amount of dollars away for debt service, we can fit this roughly $4 million in that payment stream. And so from a cash flow standpoint, from a revenue standpoint, you've already got the dollars paid in your budget to make this payment. So if you think about this year's budget and next year's budget and say, all right, we're going to raise taxes in order to afford this loan, the answer is no. It fits right within what we've already had paid in. So that's a little bit of what you think about the future.
That's basically the winter thing there?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, the thing was the landfill and also
respirators.
We had pledged or had planned in the FY19 budget to buy the respirators and finance those with the company that was selling. However, it's cheaper if we bundle it together with this and finance those together with this.
But essentially, you're taking the landfill payment that we were making anyway. It's paying off. And we're applying that payment to this one.
Going forward, yes,
going
sir.
Forward.
Yes, sir. That should be budget neutral.
All right.
Yeah, but that landfill payment on the rest of your existing debt service payments, you kind of take that whole number, and then you know your existing debt services and whatever it is. If you look at it visually, you flip that to page number 8, and you can see visually the graph and what's inside there. Dark green bars is your existing debt service. So you see the dark green bars drop off from FY19, you know that's an actual payment off. And if you do, you go into light green bars and keep it underneath that blue line. So you make a visual person, I tend to be more visual. As long as we're below that blue line, we're working for the dollars and that within the budget. And so what you have is basically a 5-6 year period, and then you've got another performance. So again, Sterling is the best bidder in terms of longer term capital projects. And as I mentioned, we're working with the bond council. They are very nearly done their credit approval. So obviously, we make that as one caveat that we've got one final approval from them. We don't have that standing here right now. That'll just give us any problem. We'll make that disclosure and disclaimer that if there's a problem, we're going to have to make sure that we're not expecting it's going to be an issue that's standing here right now. So that really leads us to next steps. On page 5, working through this process. Resolution that authorized us both line credit and the longer term capital project financing. And that would be all we need to do in the Board of Supervisors. There will then be a subsequent action that the IDA need to take on the long term financing, which I think is similar to the long term financing in the past, and very typical for the Virginia local government, just kind of how the laws and rules work in Virginia. Lease real estate for this collateral. So what we're doing with the long-term financing flows through the IDA. The ultimate credit with the backing of it is the Board of Supervisors. So we have to go through the IDA members. This one is passed through in that the ultimate responsibility for the payment of this lies with the Board of Supervisors and not with the IDA. So we should make that point to understand that if there's any questions. That's what people want to do process. So again, the IDA will be on Thursday, scheduled to meet
think it's also important to for the press and the audience too. This is doesn't mean we're going to borrow the whole $4 million. We have the power to borrow up to $4 million.
Right.
And also on the credit line as well, that is there for the cash flow needs of the county. So I think there's some things that we're looking at internally to see whether those numbers are going to be hitting. So doesn't mean that the county's going to make it over $1 million at this point. So.
And especially this point, more so the case of $2.5 million provides there as a agent's term insurance policy, it's not technical insurance, but that's where the cash flow, you know, sort of contingency, if indeed is a problem, bad flood, storm, whatever it is, if you've got any buildings to fall down, something like that, that's why that really is there as a contingency.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's mentioned regarding the line of credit just briefly. The situation that we are in and have been time immemorial is that we receive probably 90%+ of our revenues in November and December each year. So once those revenues are received, we have a long period of time that we don't get a lot of revenues. And what that means is come October, those are probably our lowest balances that you're going to see in our account. As we have depleted the reserves, that number gets lower and lower each year in October. And that is problematic. It was not a problem last year, but it's certainly something we watched carefully last year. This year, I do not think we'll have to watch it like we did before. But one issue that I wanted to mention to the board is that in working with the school board on the budget this year, I talked to them and I said, how is it that we end up sort of at loggerheads every year on this budget? Why does this happen? And Dr. Stacy and I both did a lot of, sort of digging down our respective ends of the street to see why that happens. And one of the issues is because we receive much of our revenues in November and December, we give them their local money from us in November and December. Well, by state statute, you're required to ask for their budget for the following year or the first of April. So basically, we give them their money in December, and by the end of March, we're asking, was that enough? Do you need more? How much are you going to need next year? And there's no way they can really know that. So for their security, they always say no and they ask for more, which is probably what I would do if I was on that industry. So what we would like to be able to do is we have this line of credit and we're confident that if something does happen, we've got a way to pay for it, we can probably begin advancing them some more money faster, not additional money, but it's the same money faster, which I think will help them in their project planning for works that they do, their purchasing that they do, and things of that nature. And hopefully that will give us a clearer picture next year as to what their ending balance is going to be and what their needs for the following year are going to be. So it can spread out the spending, and I think that will help some issues that we've had. So we may never use this. We may draw $10,000 on it, $100,000 on it. I'd have to see
Charlie wanted to make sure, since it was criticism, he's heard some criticism, he was $3 million the whole last year, and now we're borrowing $4 million, and people think we're borrowing for operations. We're not. This is not for operations money. This is for capital projects that have to be done. And the point is, it's a complicated matter. We did a press release on it. Even with the press release, people think, well, you don't believe everything the government tells you. But this is why we did the press release, because we were getting questions about it over here.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have an overhead showing what we use the funds for. Now, this is the up to, again, I stress up to.
We're looking at the detail over here of what we're using the money for, Charles.
Up to $4 million. These are all capital expenditures. And by capital expenditures, what I mean by that is they are one-time expenditures. Now, if you look over 100 years, yes, we'll probably have to replace that back in 20 years from now. So, in a sense, they're all recurring. But at the same time, these are expenditures that are not part of your operations. This is not payroll. This is not electric bills or phone bills. These are purchases of items. The significant one is the HVAC courthouse, and we're well aware, anyone that's followed the county over the last couple of decades, we're well aware of the courthouse. Second is an EMS fire station in Deerfield. The one that they had was woefully inactive. It had some issues with safety. Ambulance and equipment is $200,000. That is equipment for the ambulance, and that equipment includes hydraulic lifts. What that does is it helps lift some patients. It's modernized equipment, in a sense. The scuba gear is critical. We need to update and have adequate breathing apparatus for our firemen. We owe it to them, and we owe it to the residents that they could be called upon to protect. Fire gear with that is a cascade system that reloads. You may recall a few years ago, the town of Tazewell had a long-term fire event that went on for several hours. And one of the issues is reloading that scuba gear with air. You have to have compressors to do that in a timely and needed fashion. Fire apparatus, typically during the year we get a fire department that comes in and says, we found a discount deal on this truck and we really like to buy it. We say, well, apply for it next year's budget, and well, the truck's gone. So we like to have this in our back pocket in the event that happens. It may not. Again, we may not borrow this much money. The sheriff's cruisers is $200,000 for the sheriff's cruisers. We're trying to keep his fleet updated through the budget problems that we've had. And then emergency generator, $60,000 for 911 communications towers. We need to replace these. These are things that have been deferred year after year, that eventually, if we don't, they're going to come and bite us.
This is Morris Knob, right?
Actually, it's several locations, three different
but
locations.
But Morris Knob, one of them.
Well, that's included, yes, sir.
Okay. Which drives the Kenningsville unit?
I believe that it does.
Yes,
it does.
That's true, that is.
But the primary use of the generator is to keep our communications on Morris Knob for 911 throughout the county in the event of a storm. We just spent $7,000 to trim trees along the power lines going up the mountain of that communications tower. It's a critical piece of our emergency communications infrastructure. And we have contingency in here. We will have the HVAC bids before the end of the month. We are anticipating about $1.6 million for the HVAC in the courthouse. We solicited proposals that would also include replacing the lighting in the courthouse with LED lighting, which would be much more energy efficient. Depending on what those bids are, we may want to go ahead and do that. We'll have to look at the anticipated energy savings. But to address Mr. Stacy's concerns, and he was on the budget committee
know, some of these things you say, well, why are you, you know, do you not have $60,000 to do the generators? Why are you putting them in? That's what has happened to us the last several years, is we rob all of our cash to do maybe one or two smaller capital projects, and that puts us in a cash crunch to where, you know, it's easier and it makes more sense to just lump this together, and that way let your cash be left, especially with the bond payment coming off this year with the landfill, and it's not raising anything. So in essence, I say, you know, you have a car and you have that car for 5 years, and the car is probably wore out, you're after another car. You probably trade that car in and get another one for the exact same amount. So it's just a perpetual thing. You say, well, you keep it for another 5 years, well, maintenance and family breakdown and different things is the risk, and that's what's going to happen here at the courthouse. There'll be a cold day in January where I'm going to get a call. The judge is over there with a long cedar trying to stay warm, and we keep this thing down the road ever since I've been on the board. So
we just continue to put the band aid on.
So we spent $60,000 last year, I think it was.
$65,000
last year just in trying to put band aids on the HVAC system. So it just doesn't make sense to keep doing that. So that's why this board, a lot of, and too, I think that everybody in this room knows that, but this has been blood, sweat, and tears to this point. It's not just something we threw out there and said, oh, well, it's just a bar or up to 4 million. There's been a lot of conversation. And I do appreciate the work that Kyle and his group has done. Very professional. They've come in, they really told us what we could do to structure that. And I appreciate the work that y'all have done.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'll give you these two little points of commentary. Being outsiders, not experts in the operational side of things, and something that we look at and the banks look at is the essentiality of the projects you're financing. Right. Is this essential to the core function that the local government is doing? And I think as we look at that list, it's entirely public safety, right?
Yes.
And so of the various core things that you're doing by statute and by purpose as a local government, public safety is clearly amongst those. And so that, again, not that we're experts in, you know, how you run a sheriff's office or anything of that variety, but to look at the types of projects and things finance, that term essentiality becomes important. I think goes clearly between sheriff's business, fire apparatus, and HVAC systems, effectively and obsolete, broken down, that all fits that really, like, central terminology.
Okay. Yeah. Comments or discussion around with the board members?
Mr. Chairman, if I could make one more comment. The landfill payment is coming off of this year, and you know, the natural question is, well, aren't we going to have to expand the landfill again? Where does that money come from? According to the engineers at Santa, our engineers at Joyce, we feel like we have about 6 years left on landfill at our current pace. Now, if we go forward with what we call the turnkey phase of Santan, then they feel like there's about 3 years. But the good news with that is, if we do go turnkey and we do have that higher volume, then it's their responsibility to build the next phase. So, if we
not, when we look at a graph, we have another substantial debt reduction. If we had to do that, we could go back in and borrow the money to expand that phase.
I think if you look at our debt payment scheduling, and I think Devin will look at this too, is our debt load on the courthouse doesn't go away, it declines somewhere around 2025, 2026. I can't remember the exact year, but that would coincide with that 6 year life expectancy. I feel like we could probably fit that in. Hopefully we'll complete the transaction with Santec, and that'll be a worry that we won't have to take up, and we can use that money for something else. But I feel confident that we're safe with the landfill for the time being.
All right, that's all the discussion. We have a motion, a guess it's going to be on the first one, we put the 4 million, is that correct?
That would be correct.
The resolution. So, it's going to be the one here.
With the repo.
I'm just going to do the first vote, if that's okay. So, we have here before us a resolution improvement plan, lease financing with industrial development authority of Tazewell County, Virginia, approving form of certain documents prior to connection therewith and authorizing execution of delivery of the same. And this is for up to $4 million. So do I have a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
All right, Mr. Lester's going to make the motion. Do I have a second?
Who's going to second the motion?
I'll second.
All right, we've got Ms. Asbury is going to second. All in favor say aye.
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 Right, that one will pass. In the second resolution we have here before us is for the $2.5 million line of credit, and it's a resolution approving a plan for the establishment of line of credit to finance and various county projects by the Industrial Development Authority, Tazewell County, Virginia, authorizing execution of certain documents in connection therewith, approving forms of such documents. Do I have a motion for this?
I'll make the motion.
All right, Mr. Lester makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Himes seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Charlie, is that an aye?
Looking aye.
All right, thank you. All right, so both of these is passed, and then it will be sent to the IDA, correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
All right, that's all the business we have on our agenda today. Thank you for coming. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
That's all we can do, right?
That's all we can do. Have a motion to adjourn?
So,
all right.